I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome on into the second half of Sports Talk, folks, this Wednesday, the August 13th. And we're just a few days away from the Saints preseason game number two. That's Sunday, high noon in the Caesars Superdome. They'll be hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars. Still out in California right now. Practice actually just getting underway. They'll be doing another session tomorrow and then flying back to Louisiana on Friday. Do probably a little walkthrough Saturday before Sunday's preseason matchup in the Dome. Looking forward to seeing more from that QB competition. The injuries, unfortunately, have been piling up for the black and gold of late. We've been talking a ton about that. Today, the Saints announced some roster moves. They signed guard/center Mike Panasuk, also placed wide receiver Bub Means and tight end Mason Plein on injured reserve. Now about Panasuk, 6'4", 300 pounds, joins the Saints after a three-year stint in the UFL with the St. Louis Battlehawks as their starting center. We earned all UFL and XFL in each of the last three seasons. Began his professional career signing as an undrafted free agent defensive tackle with the Las Vegas Raiders following the 2020 NFL draft out of Michigan State, where he played four seasons with the Spartans. Panasuk also spent time with the Carolina Panthers practice squad and also participated in 2024 training camp with the Indianapolis Colts. So the Saints have been busy trying to plug some holes now along the offensive line. We heard from Nick Underhill of New Orleans.football saying that Trevor Penning, his injury is turf toe. And you, for me, you never like hearing that. We talk about it a ton, saying it's an injury that doesn't sound like it's anything that serious. Turf toe, no big deal. But, man, that's one that can linger on. You don't know how much pain that can really cause until you're dealing with it. And for an offensive lineman who needs his feet for that balance and that power, it's a huge negative for Penning.
We had someone that texted in and asked about what is turf toe exactly. And if you look it up, it's a quote-unquote sprain of the big toe joint. Like your big toe, you either hyperextend it, you jam it, and then it sprains, and that's an issue. Now, there's different levels of severity for turf toe, as Mike and I kind of talked about earlier on, and it feels like the reporting is that Trevor Penning's turf toe is relatively minor.
I still don't like Coach saying a while when asked how long he'll be out.
Well, even like the quote-unquote moderate timeline of return for someone with turf toe is 4 to 6 weeks is what's been reported. If it's worse, it can be several months. And Trevor Penning's dealt with turf toe before, which is why it's a little bit extra concerning, because he's had all these foot issues. Correct. Early on in his career. So you obviously hate to hear that, because even if it's, you know, the quote-unquote minor to moderate turf toe, the guy's still going to miss the rest of the preseason and the start of the regular season. So
yeah, you wouldn't imagine he's going to be ready for week one.
Exactly. And maybe even out for week two. Like, we'll see exactly how severe Trevor Penning's
holding our breath
turf toe issue is, but it's something that he's dealt with before. On top of that, he's had these foot issues early on in his career. It's definitely not a good thing.
Also disappointing, the news today, Charlie, with Bub Means going on injured reserve. Had a lot of high expectations from him. We're rooting for the guy. We talked about this yesterday. Really good interview. You kind of got to know a little bit about him the times we got to talk with the wide receiver. Enjoyed even he stopped by the WWL booth during Super Bowl time and gave us an interview. So really disappointing news for his sophomore season. And I don't know what it is about that field out in L.A. It's claimed his year both seasons now in the NFL.
We had, I don't want to say expectations, but maybe hopes, right, that Bub Means could make that year two leap.
We keep talking about a big physical contested catch receiver. Hopefully he could have been that guy we thought.
They don't have it.
Nope.
They don't. Like, the closest you have right now with Bub Means going down is maybe Cedric Wilson.
Right.
It's just not – the wide receiver room is a major issue, and it's been a major issue. Like, Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, they are what they are. What do you have after that? Brandon Cooks, like – 2.5 wide receivers that you can reliably count on.
Right, I still need to see it from Cooks. I know he's done it before. He's had a good career, but what about now, this year?
But that's my issue, is even like past Cooks, what do you have? Mason Tipton's wide receiver 4 right now?
Yeah.
It's a spot that is very prone to completely falling apart if it suffers injuries, which you could say the same thing about the offensive line. So we're already seeing the injuries start to crop up, especially on the interior of the offensive line. But like we said last night, Steve, God forbid if anything happens to Kelvin Banks or Taliese Fuanga, the tackle spot is going to be in shambles too.
Hush your mouth.
Well, listen, I mean, I'm the one that's singing Kelvin Banks' praises here.
Right, sure.
He looked really, really strong in the 20 reps that he played in that preseason opener. And then we all know what Fuanga can do. I've been talking up Fuanga all offseason, talking about buy stock now because it's going to be through the roof. He's going to be one of the premier right tackles in the NFC. You feel good about your starters, but man, oh boy, if something happens, it's not a good spot. Right now, the interior of the offensive line is the more pressing issue because you've already seen the injuries there with Will Clapp being out for the season, with now Trevor Penning's issue.
Saldivari's already on the shelf.
Saldivari's out for the season.
Right.
Injuries are starting to crop up front. And Mike talks about it all the time. It happens every single year. You'll deal with offensive line injuries. You have to have good depth there. And not many teams have it. And kind of question if the Saints have it.
No, I mean, the Saints just picking up a guy that was playing in the UFL.
Exactly. And Dylan Radin's looked really poor at right tackle. Maybe he'll be better at left guard, but even then, is he a starter for you? He might have to be a starter for you because of the injuries that you've seen early on. Maybe Shane Lemieux gets that left guard spot early on in the season with Penning's issue. I don't know.
How much difference, though, will Radin's be just moving like a spot over on the O-line?
Well, he's played left guard.
Yeah, I know.
So it's a couple spots. He's got experience with the Titans. The Titans' offensive line was abysmal and has been abysmal for years. So you were really hoping that the Raiden's pickup would be more, okay, we're bringing in this guy for depth. Well, 1 week into the preseason, you already have all these injuries up front. You might need to use them come the start of the regular season. So
I'm curious if they decide maybe two to see if Landon Young could be a guy that fills that role at left guard.
Maybe. Like, they're going to just see what works out.
No, it's going to be an experiment time now for sure with Penning on the shelf for a while.
You have 2 more preseason games, so you'll get more tape there about who you want to be the starting left guard for week 1. Because, as we mentioned, it's not going to be Trevor Penning.
Before we take our break and get into our Saints audio, Charlie, got to bring up, man, the Brew Crew, Milwaukee Brewers, cruising right now. They just won their 12th victory, sweeping the Pirates. And last night was a rough game for our favorite, Paul Skeens, who got roughed up pitching 4 innings against the Brewers, gave up 4 earned runs, walked 2, struck out 4, 2 home runs. He was yanked, and no surprise, wasn't getting run support anyway. Yesterday,
yeah.
Pirates falling 14-0 there. Today's game was a 12-5 victory.
Pretty high scoring. Man, the Brew Crew's swinging the bat pretty well, huh, Steve?
Yeah. I saw this. You'll appreciate it. Milwaukee streak continues. They've scored 103 runs during their 12-game win streak. The second team in the last 80 seasons to score at least 100 runs during a win streak of 12. The other team, 2004 Astros, 109 runs.
There you go. That's a great team. Steve, Paul Skeens, you sent this to me the other night. Versus the Brewers, 8 earned runs and 8 innings pitched. Versus everybody else, 27 earned runs and 140 innings pitched. Something about the Brew Crew Mr. Skeens doesn't really like. I don't know, man. The Brewers have kind of come out of nowhere. They're on that hot stretch right now in kind of August. So is this really going to
translate,
I guess, so to speak, to October baseball? Because every single year it feels like the Brewers get to the postseason and then they flame out.
Right.
Is this year different? Is this finally different for Milwaukee? Are they going to actually make a run? We'll have to see. I kind of have my reservations just because I've seen it happen multiple times where they have really good teams and then they just can't get it done once you get to October. We'll see, man. They've got some really talented young pitchers. One thing that I also saw was that as far as like blown saves or wins for a starter that's been blown by the bullpen, you know, most teams on average have about anywhere from 6 to 10 on the higher end, you have upwards of 15 to 20. Milwaukee is by far the lowest with only two this year. That bullpen's getting it done, Steve.
Yeah, and I mean, when you're putting up double-digit runs for your pitching staff, that helps too. We'll see if the Brew Crew can remain hot. I used to always love, as a kid, seeing the guy go down the slide with the home runs.
Yeah.
Gorman Thomas, the name that I would see in the highlights, and I would always look forward to the Brewers to see if he jack one to see the slide down into the beer. It's not beer anymore, unfortunately. When we get back, we'll dip into the WWL Sound Bank. First off, hear from Kellen Moore, and then also NFL Network had DeMario Davis stop by, hear his thoughts on his new head coach. So stay tuned right after this on WWL Saints Radio.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
We're back here on Sports Talk. Want to get into some audio from head coach Kellen Moore yesterday. WWL Sound Bank is brought to you by First American Bank. Coach was asked right off the bat, where is this QB competition right now?
It keeps competing. That's the plan. So these guys, there's good, and there's opportunities to improve. And in the first preseason game, it is the first one. We'll continue to rotate these guys, and we'll let this whole week play itself out and put ourselves in position to make some decisions for the Jacksonville game.
Now, it sure seems like it's down to Spencer Rattler, Tyler Shuck. From the reps that, you know, Jake Haener is not getting with first team offense or even the second team, he's been running with the third team mostly. We even saw him pretty much get mop-up duty there at the end of the preseason game. We'll see what happens in the next one. But Coach Moore was asked, is Haener really still a part of this QB competition?
Yeah, we still want to try and get him opportunities. At the end of the day, there's only so many reps in the game, and so it gets tricky. You got to make decisions like that. Jake's going to keep competing. We still see a bright future for him, and so we'll just let this whole thing play out.
One thing that'll help the young quarterbacks, you've heard the Cajun Cannon talk about it ad nauseum, is a rushing attack, a quarterback's best friend. Well, the Saints against the Chargers, 20 carries, 61 yards, 3.1 a carry. That's not going to cut it in the NFL. Coach Kellen Moore's thoughts on the run game right now.
I think just in general, as running the football wasn't the best. We got to get better there. We got to be cleaner. Cleaner up front, communication, execution, hit some dirty runs. You know, sometimes it's going to be dirty. You got to get 4 or 5 yards. And so, yeah, everything's a part of that.
Coach Kellen Moore after yesterday's practice there, WWL Sound Bank brought to you by First American Bank. The team practicing right now out in California. We'll definitely try and get you updates when we can after that session comes to a close. But, man, the questions we have with the run game go hand in hand, obviously, with the offensive line.
Sure.
And man, oh man, Charlie, the issues popping up early with the interior is definitely concerning.
Definitely concerning. Steve, I want to go back to him talking about Haener there. Do you think Haener's still a legit member of this QB competition?
For me, it does not feel like it.
I think it's a two-man race as well. I think we'll learn more with this second preseason game against Jacksonville if it's kind of the rep split that you saw in week one against the Chargers, where, you know, Spencer Rattler gets a majority of the first half and then Tyler Shuck gets the end of the first half and a majority of the second half, right? It feels like it's those two guys battling it out right now to be week one starter against Arizona. You know, we'll see if he gets a little bit more of an increased workload for this week two matchup against the Jaguars. Otherwise, I don't want to count him out because, I mean, you guys have been talking about it. He's made plays and kind of kept his name in that race at practice.
Right.
But the practice part of it is practice, right? You got to show it up in a game. And, he had the pick against the Chargers. And it just feels like it's a two-man race right now, despite what Coach Moore may be saying. I think he's got to come out and say that to the media.
Being diplomatic, right?
Right. He's got to come out and say that. But realistically, a lot of folks know this is between Shuck and Rattler.
I definitely think Sunday's preseason matchup right here on WWL, a high noon kickoff, will tell us a lot more about the QB competition. Meanwhile, I know a lot of folks getting ready for fantasy football drafts. I cannot wait to get mine going. It's going to be after preseason action, though. So to gather all the intel we can, Sam Brookhouse, former Tulane linebacker, also Sumer Sports senior NFL analyst and data scientist, will join us after the break. Get his thoughts on who he thinks could be some big boom late round prospects that you could get in your draft to help you win your NFL fantasy football championship. So we'll take a break here on Sports Talk. We'll return with Sam Brookhouse right after this on WWL.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
We're back here on Sports Talk. Steve and Charlie hanging out with you till 8 o'clock tonight. Wanted to welcome in now Sam Brookhouse, former Tulane linebacker and Sumer Sports senior NFL analyst and data scientist, joining us here on WWL. Roll wave, Sam. What's been going on, man?
Roll wave. I'm hoping that we can beat the numbers that are going on right now on the live Taylor Swift podcast. They got 1.2 million viewers right now. Hopefully we can do a little better down in New Orleans.
Amen to that. Looking at some of the stuff you guys do at Sumer Sports, I wanted to talk to you just because I feel like fantasy football, junkies will get so much out of what Sumer Sports has to offer from the analytics side when it comes to getting ready for your draft.
Yeah, 100%. We did a full deep dive all summer on what stats from last year actually mean something for this year. You can check out all those stats on sumersports.com. We also have an article out about some of the fantasy insights that we will discuss here also on sumersports.com.
Looking at some of the first round picks for guys, you know, a lot of people are worried about like a down year for someone like Saquon Barkley, especially with the Madden curse upon him. What are the analytics saying about Saquon going into this season with the Eagles?
So when you look at running backs, it's very difficult to see year-to-year correlation, particularly for these older players. We've really only seen it in players like Christian McCaffrey, even though he's hurt most of the time. And when you really break it down, year-to-year, you rushing yards, all the advanced analytics are very difficult to predict, especially as compared to wide receivers and quarterbacks and some of the other positions. I think that's why people are a little hesitant to draft someone like Saquon. But this is a very interesting year. You think of all of the good wide receivers we have in this league, starting at guys like Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson, the LSU alums, and going to people like Puka Nacua, Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think this is actually the year to target running backs in the first round, because you can probably get wide receiver one quality players in rounds two or three.
Spicy.
Yeah, Sam, I want to actually ask you right off the bat about Ja'Marr Chase, because I see a lot of drafts where he goes 101, and you understand why. He's coming off that triple crown this past year, the rare triple crown where you lead the league in receiving yards, receptions, touchdowns, and he had a phenomenal 2024 campaign. But just kind of projecting him for 2025, is he going to come close to that? Do you think he could potentially surpass that? Is he worth, you know, that investment at 101?
So here's what the research shows. There's two incredibly what we call sticky stats year to year for wide receivers. That is target share and that is yards per route run. Ja'Marr Chase is one of the best players in the league at both of these. That indicates that he probably will continue to be in 2025. But here's the one thing that just kind of happens when you do the math over this year over year. When you have someone who has an incredibly excellent year, typically the next year they'll fall back down to earth. Because Ja'Marr Chase is such a good player, I still think he's a top-tier premium player and probably should be a good selection in the first round or with one of those top picks. But I'd really consider looking at a player like Jahmyr Gibbs or Bijan Robinson with that top pick, because I just don't think, because of that regression down from the top for Ja'Marr Chase as compared to last year, he's going to be radically different from some of these guys like Puka Nacua or some of those players like A.J. Brown, who have a similar statistical profile and just for whatever reason didn't perform all the way up to that level last year.
I guess this is almost a two-part question, because there's a couple different top receivers that are kind of saddled with poor quarterback situations. Like right off the bat, you know, Malik Nabers is basically a top five wide receiver preseason projected in fantasy across the board. But I mean, Russell Wilson's the probably going to be the week one starter, but how long is it going to take for the rookie and Jackson Dart to get in there? It's not the great quarterback situation that you'd be hoping for such a talent like Malik. But then also, you know, we're talking about the Saints, and they could be holding a joint practice session with the Rams tomorrow. The Rams are having all these reports coming out of camp with Matt Stafford's back issue. You mentioned Puka Nacua, but also Davante Adams on the Rams roster. Is that kind of concerning for anyone that's going to be targeting these top receivers about the quarterback situation that they're saddled with?
I think when you really look at a wide receiver's ability to earn targets, that is kind of substantially more on the wide receiver themselves. So at least as it is concerned with PPR formats, points per reception, where you get 1 point just if the wide receiver catches the ball, which as a Tulane Green Wave alum, as someone who's been on the field, I think it's a little ridiculous. I'd like to see people get some yards, but that's kind of the standard format nowadays. I wouldn't really worry about Puka Nacua, Davante Adams, or Malik Nabers too much. All three of them were top 15 players in target share last year. That indicates to me that they will have a lot of receptions, and even if the yardage isn't there, or, you know, the quarterback isn't playing super well, that the offense coordinator and their ability to get open will ensure that they have receptions on a play-by-play basis. When you're looking at those three players in particular, I'd love to see the efficiency of Malik Nabers get up there. I think Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, two guys who love to push the ball down the field, especially as compared to Daniel Jones, who last year didn't even really have the ability to push the ball down the field. And that's even before they got into players like Tommy DeVito and Drew Locke. I think that's a slight upgrade, and it should be a good signal for Malik Nabers. I think he's one of those guys who I would recommend taking a running back in the first round, because there's a potential that you could get Malik Nabers or Brian Thomas Jr., who's another guy kind of in a similar role. Trevor Lawrence was hurt last year, who had excellent wide receiver one quality years last year, are slipping a little bit just because of the mechanics of fantasy, and you could probably grab them and get similar value to Ja'Marr Chase or Justin Jefferson this year in the later picks.
Sam, I'm curious, who are some of those candidates that, you know, you're seeing could be a bust for this season, that maybe, you know, those first or second round selections that are expected to have this huge output that may be in store for a down season?
What I really try to identify when it comes to that is players who either are very injury prone, players who are just hyped up because of something that occurred last year, or players, in particular running backs, that just have little to no impact on the receiving games. I think a guy potentially like Josh Jacobs could be a guy who's not necessarily to that T in the receiving game. That being said, I still think he's going to be a tier one wide receiver as long as he's healthy. And then also you want to look at the quarterback position as well, because once you start getting in around 3, 4, and 5, that's when people start getting a little antsy and wanting to add these big names. I'd be really hesitant about adding a guy like Patrick Mahomes and even maybe Joe Burrow as well, just because they don't provide you the rushing upside that guys kind of down the way, including Bo Nix, Brock Purdy, who we saw increased his scramble rate from 3% to 8%,
wow.
Basically the 32nd ranked player to all of a sudden around Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson in terms of his scramble rate. I think you could probably get more value by staying away from those two big MVP level names, even though they obviously do help their team win. And if you're just looking for stats, looking for guys like Kyler Murray, Brock Purdy, or Bo Nix potentially in the later rounds.
Two tight ends I wanted to ask you about here, Sam. One of them is coming off an unbelievable, literally record-setting season for rookie tight ends, and that was Brock Bowers this past season. 112 receptions, an NFL rookie record, alongside another NFL rookie record, 1,194 yards. Just unbelievable for the former first-round pick with the Las Vegas Raiders. And he's getting a potential upgrade at quarterback situation with Geno Smith going in there. I know that there's also, you know, the side that you can play talking about Ashton Jeanty, the top pick that they made this year. He's going to obviously see a lot of, you know, play in the offense. But Brock Bowers, for one, how high would you potentially take him in drafts just because he was so, so good last year? And then the other one is kind of the opposite side of the spectrum, where you hear all this buzz from Falcons training camp. This is finally the year for Kyle Pitts, who, you know, continues to let fantasy managers down year after year, whether that be due to just poor play or due to injury issues. Just want to get your thoughts on both of those players.
Yeah, so the tight end position is a really interesting one this year. Typically, you can kind of wait until the middle rounds to pick up a tight end. I don't think that's going to be the case this year. I think there will be runs in the second, third, or fourth round on the top three tight ends. Those three tight ends are Brock Bowers, as you mentioned, who has all the sticky statistics in his camp. You look at a guy like Geno Smith, who last year really propped up DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf's new contract is probably directly in correlation with Geno Smith being one of the best players in completion percentage over expected, meaning that he was completing difficult throws. I expect him to continue doing that to Brock Bowers. That's why Brock Bowers, I would really consider taking as early as the third round. There's going to be some interesting scenarios that people will find themselves in where they won't necessarily draft a wide receiver until the fourth round. That'll be the first time in maybe 5 years that that's actually kind of a safe or at least chasing upside play. You look at George Kittle and Trey McBride. I think those are the other two guys that I really trust. Trey McBride a little bit more than George Kittle just because of George Kittle's injury history to go in that third, fourth, or fifth round, and really a guy that you would want to target early. I'm really worried about Kyle Pitts. I don't trust the numbers as I see him. It would be a real historical element if he ended up being very good this year. The only item that I will say, my former teammate Darnell Mooney, Raheem Morris, came out and said that his injury kind of situation right now is a little murky, that could elevate Kyle Pitts into the second wide receiver or second pass catcher spot. That being said, we've seen him basically in the first pass catcher spot and not be able to produce. The only item in his camp right now is that tight ends typically have a longer aging curve than almost any position because it's very difficult to both block and pass receive at the next level. This needs to be his breakout year. I don't necessarily see it happening, but if he's utilizing the offense correctly, I think you could probably still feel okay grabbing him in the much later rounds if he ends up falling because of what you just said. He's let people go down year in and year out.
Folks, we're talking to Sam Bruckhaus, Sumer Sports Senior NFL Analyst and Data Scientist. Obviously, you have to hit on those early round picks for your fantasy draft, but finding value in that mid to late rounds also crucial for any championship winning team, just like real football. Do you have some of those later round prospects that you could see as boom this year in fantasy football?
Yeah, I think when you look at preseason injuries and even preseason suspensions to a certain degree, people typically very highly overvalue those in terms of, you know, not thinking that that player will operate well during the season because he's suspended for the first couple games. And so I think Rashee Rice is a guy who could quality be a wide receiver one in this league, a quality top 10 performer, league winner at the wide receiver position. He's going pretty late due to, you know, rumors about his suspension. But when he was on the field for the Chiefs last year, he was the certified wide receiver one. He had an immense target share, and he was quite efficient, both on short routes and long routes. When you look at the situation that the Chiefs found themselves in at the end of last season, where they were really trusting DeAndre Hopkins, who's no longer in a Chiefs uniform, Travis Kelce getting older despite his podcast numbers going up, as I said, you really think that Rashee Rice can probably be a really good guy if you can just wait 2 or 3 weeks. I think he'll end up being a league winner by the end of the year.
Any running backs in that range as well, Sam, that you're kind of targeting? Because I know you had mentioned taking running back early. Some of these top running backs are elite and they're going to be, you know, top of their class for a reason. But, you know, some of those guys, maybe RB2s that could have RB1 upside, or maybe even a little bit further down the board, like an RB3 that could fit in that RB2 role.
It starts getting a little sticky this year with the running backs once you get in the middle, just because it's kind of like what we saw last year with the quarterbacks, where there's a ton of rookies. You're looking at a Marion Hampton, RJ Harvey, Trevion Henderson. But a veteran guy, or a second-year guy that I'm really looking at, is Braylon Allen with the New York Jets. They brought in a full Detroit Lions crew to the Jets this year. They'll be trotting out offensive coordinator Tanner Engstrand, who has been basically a second coordinator underneath Ben Johnson, the now coach of the Chicago Bears. If you have followed the Lions at all, they have always had two running backs, whether that was DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams, or in recent years, Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. David Montgomery has been fantasy viable throughout his time as a Lions tailback. I think that's going to be the case with Breece Hall and Braylon Allen, where it ends up being more of a 1A and 1B scenario. If you can snag Braylon Allen down the stretch of your fantasy draft, especially if you can get him in the later rounds, I think there's decent upside both running the ball and receiving the ball for him, and that's a recipe for success.
And finally, Sam, how are you feeling about some of the black and gold players in fantasy this year? I think there's the big three for me, at least, with Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, and Juwan Johnson. What is their outlook?
I think when you look in particular at Olave and Shaheed, that discussion I had about the injury leads to them being what we call wide tail players. And that means there's a lot of upside, given that they're probably going to fall in drafts, particularly Shaheed, who has those long deep balls and can win you a week if he has, you know, 150 yards on four catches and two touchdowns. That's a real difference maker, particularly if you're looking at the weirder best ball formats where you don't necessarily select your lineup and it just pops someone up into the lineup. I think the wide receiver position is a good place to find value for them later on in the draft. But I think Kamara is probably the guy that you can look at the most consistency for. He was the leader in target share amongst wide receiver, amongst running backs last year. I do have a little bit of hesitancy about how Kellen Moore will deploy him. You look at Ezekiel Elliott way back in the day, he had a very high target share as well. Then when Kellen Moore came in as the Cowboys running back, that went down. Saquon Barkley didn't really have a high target share, but I think it would just be a misuse if we don't see Kamara at that level of receiving talent. I think he's really consistent, and I think you can probably feel comfortable picking him at ADP, average draft position, if you get a chance to.
Awesome stuff, Sam. Thanks so much for the time. You can check out more of Sam's stuff and everyone else he works with at sumersports.com. That's S-U-M-E-R sports.com. Thanks a lot, Sam. Always appreciate your breakdowns.
Thank you all.
Thanks, Sam.
Sam Brookhouse, a former Tulane linebacker, now Sumer Sports senior NFL analyst and data scientist.
Yeah, we didn't really get into Tulane much with him, but I think that Green Wave could be in for a big year. And that's not just because I'm a fan of Coach John Summerall. I think that, you know, everything that we've been hearing from Tulane's fall camp has been super positive. They may make a push for that group of five spot in the 12-team college football playoff this year.
That would definitely be something, Charlie. We're going to take a break here on Sports Talk. Be back with even more, so stay tuned right after this on WWL. Wrapping up the 6 o'clock hour of Sports Talk, we'll be back with even more. Stay tuned for the WWL Sound Bank, Dylan Radins, Jonah Williams, Rajon Wright, and the NFL Network. Talk with DeMario Davis. Hear what he had to say about head coach Kellen Moore. Be back at the top of the hour news right here on WWL Sports Talk. Who dat?